ABC Radio Australia.
Well, you might remember when Pacific young people worried about global warming had a bold idea to lobby for an advisory opinion on climate change at the International Court of Justice. Well, now one of those people is being recognised for his efforts with a major prize. Vishal Prasad is one of only six winners of this year's Global Citizen Prize and is receiving the honour in New York in the United States. He and his team from the group Pacific Island Students Fighting Climate Change are demanding a strong advisory opinion from the ICJ to uphold climate justice. And Dubrovka Volodare caught up with the campaign director to get his reaction to the prize.
It's a huge honour, I'd say, to be able to receive this very prestigious award for the campaign. I think it's a recognition that belongs to the campaign and to the whole region that has so strongly pushed for the ICJ advisory opinion.
Tell our listeners who perhaps might not be familiar with it all how the idea came about to ask for an advisory opinion on climate change at the International Court of Justice.
The idea to ask the International Court of Justice to issue an advisory opinion began in 2019 at a university classroom at the University of the South Pacific in Vanuatu. It was by a group of 27 law students who were challenged with the question about how can international law be used as a vehicle to help drive climate ambition and action. And then they started writing letters to Pacific leaders to see if anyone would be interested in this initiative to take this idea on further. And the Vanuatu government has since then been phenomenal in championing this initiative in the formal spaces. They have been responsible for leading the very successful diplomatic effort to the UN General Assembly. We knew that in order to get the advisory opinion, we needed the UN General Assembly to pass a resolution, and only then the ICJ can issue an opinion. And so since 2019, we have been advocating, campaigning, and trying to get the necessary support from countries to support the resolution when it goes to the General Assembly. And in 2023, March, the resolution was adopted. Historically, the first ICJ advisory opinion resolution from the General Assembly to go through with unanimous and consensus adoption.
How much hope did you have at the beginning?
I honestly had a lot of hope on this campaign because this was an idea that had a lot of potential. There had been previous records of ICJ advisory opinions that have been successful. Something that was very close to home was the nuclear weapons advisory opinion that was very ably led, very successfully led by civil society and other stakeholders, and so I think there was a lot of support also in the beginning of the campaign that helped ensure that this idea found its footing. And from the get-go, I think I was very on my side. I'd say I was very positive that this idea would take shape in some form.
And what would you like to see in terms of outcomes?
Well, right now we're pushing for the ICJ. We're in the procedure stage where countries are making submissions to the ICJ. And our hope is that the final opinion really drives climate action and climate ambition globally, so that we're able to hold countries and governments and all stakeholders to account for what they have to do at a minimum under international law. And so we're looking at the ICJ to clarify holistically country obligations, not just under the Paris Agreement, but we want the ICJ to do so under all of international law. So looking at obligations under human rights law, when climate change is infringing on human rights, what are country obligations relating to this under the principles of environment law and a whole host of other sources of law. And so this way we're really pushing for accountability in state action. And so a stronger legal base will really ensure that we are able to push for the really ambitious action that we need right now to limit warming, to global warming, to 1.5 degrees. The outcomes that we are anticipating from this opinion are not just limited to obligations and understanding that, but also going beyond and addressing the climate justice question that we have been asking for, and the whole climate movement has been championing for so long. And that is a discussion around consequences, that what happens when countries do not oblige, do not follow their obligations, or are in breach of their obligations, and what consequences flow as a result of that. So we know issues like loss and damage, compensation, reparations that are staples under international law whenever there is a breach. They have not been very strong, and they have not come out strongly in discussions around climate change. So this is an attempt for us to really push the narrative by engaging the ICJ and then really moving the needle on all of these crucial climate justice aspects.
And obviously it will be an advisory opinion.
It will be a final advisory opinion from the ICJ, but I think the power of the opinion is going to be really that it is going to clarify international law. So it will have a very strong moral effect, and really be a very strong tool to argue for stronger action and ambition on the ground. But also, I think the fact that the advisory opinion itself is not legally binding, it does not limit its power. The law that it'll clarify and the law that it'll discuss does become legally binding in further cases and other following procedures. So I think it'll be a historic opportunity to set international law in a place where it's far more able to address climate change. And I think the ICJ advisory opinion is fundamental in getting that journey started.
Now, going back to the prize, you will be supported and the association will receive a cash prize. What are you planning to do with it?
Well, we're in the procedures phase, as I mentioned. And so one of the big things that we are pushing forward is to really ramp up advocacy around the youth demand in this process. And so what we want to see is a lot more governments in their submissions focusing on the human rights aspect in addressing climate change and ensuring that human rights and the rights of people are at the center when we talk about climate action and ambition, but also around the rights of future generations as well, the idea of intergenerational equity. So something that we're looking forward to working with in collaboration with Global Citizen is really bringing all of these important discussions to the fore, to governments and to powerful platforms where people are able to understand these important interconnections so that these can also influence government positions and ultimately their submissions that they make to the ICJ.
What advice do you have for other young or not so young Pacific change makers?
There isn't a barrier, and being young is not a barrier that should stop us from participating or engaging in processes. And we should never limit ourselves, because the ICJ Advisory Opinion Campaign, for example, is a testament to the power of young people in tackling the biggest problems of the world, one of the biggest problems of the world, by going to one of the most ambitious platforms like the ICJ. There were a lot of people who said this might not be possible. And so there is a lot of power in young people. And even if it's an ambitious, crazy idea that someone has, I think the times that we find ourselves in demands that we take up the challenge, we rise up. And so I would really encourage young people to find a space where they can get connected. There's so many things that so many areas that our region needs help, assistance. I would encourage young people that we're no longer insignificant, but we have a stake in all of this.
Vishal Prasad talking to Dubravka Volodare, and he'll be receiving that prize in New York City next month.